just watching out west in the Midwest, 50% of the United States is in a drought condition. 50% of the whole United States is in drought condition. So, amen. We might have a little discomfort, but nevertheless, we still thank God. Amen. That God is working in our behalf. And tonight, as Minister Simon was praying, he used one of the scriptures that, when somebody's praying, not all the time, but you listen to the prayer, because one of the scriptures that he used in his prayer, and it was one that, I was kind of focusing on as well, is it's time for the weak to say, I'm strong. Amen. It's time for the weak to say, I'm strong. Paul said when he went through one of the worst trials, praise God, Sister Christian. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good to see Christine? Taylor? Oh, sorry. Oh, God. Isn't it good to see Taylor? Amen. That's my pet name for her, so y'all can't call her that. Her name is Taylor. Amen. It's good to see Taylor, but, one of the things that when Paul was going through one of his worst trials, amen, he said he sought the Lord three times to remove that trial and situation away from him. But God sent him back to reply that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So tonight, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. It is time for the weak to say, I am strong. And on Sunday, we went over my heart. Amen. Ezekiel, in dealing with the people of God, he said it's time for God to give us a new heart and a new spirit. My heart. Amen. And tonight, we want to continue on that train of thought. A new heart, a new spirit. We need a revolutionary change. Now, everybody knows about the revolution, right? Every time there's a revolution, there is a drastic or a radical change. Tonight, we need a radical change. Not on our outward man, but on our inward man. Amen. We need a radical change. And the thought of the impression of believing God has on me, has given me, is a lot of us have reached a point of frustration. Amen. Our frustration is not so much with our situations that we're going through, but our frustration is with God. A lot of us have reached a point that we actually are finding fault with God. Amen. We feel as though the lot that has been dealt to us is unfair and uneven. Amen. Unequal. And on Sunday, one of the on Sunday, one of the scriptures, I'm going to just, you don't have to go to it, but I'm going to read this scripture, two scriptures in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, and then we will have our scripture reading, which will be coming from Romans chapter 9. But in Ezekiel chapter 18, two of the scriptures that the Lord places emphasis on in dealing with the children of Israel, let me see, the first one is verse 25 of Ezekiel 18, for those that have their Bibles, if we have Ezekiel 18, verse 25, this is, we want to highlight finding fault with God. Amen. Finding fault with God because of whatever our situation is that we're dealing with, because in our mind we feel as though God is unequal and that God is not fair. Amen. Verse 25 reads, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. The problem that Judah, the children of Judah had, even when they were in captivity, they still were finding fault with God. They said, Lord, the way is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. God said, is not my way equal? Am not I fair? Am not I a righteous God? God, the scripture says in the book of Psalms, scripture says concerning the Lord is clean, and all of God's judgments and all of his decisions are always made in righteousness. Amen. God's ways are clean. And all of his decisions are made in judgment, and they say they're righteous altogether when it comes to us. But we like to find fault because we don't understand our plight. Amen. When things happen that we can't really put a handle on, because of our limited mind, our limited faculties, our limited facilities, we always find fault with God because we say, "Hey, God." Amen. So he says, God says, "Are not your ways unequal?" Amen. God's ways are equal, but our ways are unequal. And then let's go down to verse also, another verse, and that being verse 29. Verse 29 of the same chapter. God is trying to place emphasis. When God repeats something twice, he told Pharaoh this, when the dream is doubled, when he was dealing with Joseph, God is trying to get a message across. So he repeats the same thing in verse 25 and 29. He tells him, "Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not evil." Finding fault with God. Amen. When we don't understand or we can't put a handle on what is taking place in our lives, instead of trusting God in his sovereignty, instead of believing the scripture that God is faithful and that God will never place more on us than we're able to bear, but he will with the temptation make a way to escape that we might be able to bear. Instead of taking God at his word, we like to find fault. Amen. We don't do it intentionally, but inadvertently we find fault with God. So he says, "The way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal?" Tonight, we are all going through some stuff. We are all experiencing some things. All of us are having some disappointments and letdowns, and if we were writing the script in our life, it wouldn't be the way it is. Amen. But God knows and understands everything that we're experiencing. And God's ways are not unequal. God is equal. The scripture says concerning God that God is righteous. God is fair. He said, "O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal?" Amen. So whatever you're experiencing, don't find fault. Don't find blame with God. Now our scripture reading will be coming from Romans chapter 9. And we're going to start off with verse 13 of Romans chapter 9. "There is no iniquity. There is no fault in God." No fault in God. Amen. One bad thing about this heat, it has a way of tying our tongues. It has a way of causing us to conserve energy, so we don't give as much support, but nevertheless, the word of God is true. Amen. So we're going to start off, I believe it's in verse 13. Romans 9, and we're going to start off with verse 13. We'll all stand for the reading of his word. Amen. We're going to read verses 13, and we will conclude by reading verse 19 together. Verses 13 through 19. If we have it, can we say amen? Amen. Now we're dealing with finding fault with who? God. Amen. It says, "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid." I'm going to repeat that one more time. It says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness in God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth." Amen. Man has nothing to do with what God does. Hallelujah. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Amen. God has a purpose. We don't understand it. Many times we don't understand the direction that God has taken us, but he has a purpose. Therefore have he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault who has resisted his will? Keep on the next verse, sorry. Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, this evening. Lord, indeed, we ask you, Lord, to speak to our every situation. Lord, thy word declares that even before we ask, oh God, you hear that you send an answer. Lord, you know what things we have need of before we ask. Lord, walk around Zion on this evening. Lord, and speak to every need. Lord, strengthen the feeble mind. Lord, those that are strong, give them a mind to grow stronger. Lord, those that are weak, let the weak say that I am strong. And Lord, speak to us through thy word. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Romans 9 is dealing with the Romans, and they're dealing once again with finding fault with God. Amen. When you think of God did everything for us, and we've done so little for him. In comparison to God's sacrifice and his mercy and all that he's done for us, it's amazing how we can find fault with God when he's done everything for us. Amen. And as the psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, if it had not been for God keeping us and blessing and making ways out of no way, brothers and sisters, none of us would be here tonight. So God has done everything for us. Amen. And we've done so little in comparison for him. Yet we still point the finger of accusation and ask God why. Amen. Back to verse 13 of the 9th chapter again. It says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's the Greek word, God hates no one. Amen. But it's just he preferred. Jacob was chosen, and Esau was rejected because Esau sold his birthright. Amen. So this hatred doesn't have the same tone or sense or the same connotation or denotation that we know hate to mean. Amen. It means that God preferred Jacob but not Esau. The next verse reads, what shall we say then? And this is the question in all of our plights that we have tonight, in all of our lack of understanding, in all of us trying to figure out what God, what you're doing. You know, I don't understand, Lord, I've heard all of your promises, your blessings about what you will do. But sometimes we reach a state of confusion spiritually. We lose direction spiritually. When things hit us and it affects us emotionally, we react to those emotions by questioning God because we don't understand. Amen. We don't like to suffer. That's why the scripture says, if we have ceased from sin, arm yourself with this same mind. For he that has ceased from sin shall suffer in the flesh. So the number one thing we have to do is to arm ourselves with the right mind. You can't go through your trial. You cannot face your test without having the right mind. What is that mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in order for you not to find fault or point the finger of accusation against God, you must arm yourself with the what? Right mind. So what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Amen. That's a question. Now, I don't want anyone to really respond to this, but just, you know, because I don't want somebody to say, well, maybe there is. No. I just want you to ask yourself that question tonight. Is there unrighteousness in God? Do you feel as though God has been unfair in some of the things that you've experienced or some of your present course of what you're going through? Is the fault in God? Amen. Can we blame God? Is God unrighteous? Then he turns around, Paul, and answers the very question. He said, God forbid. There's no unrighteousness in God. Amen. God is fair. God is righteous. Hey, can you go to Psalm 19 for one quick second? We will never find unrighteousness in God. Amen. But sometimes when we don't really trust and believe God, we have the tendency to believe that God is unrighteous. Amen. That God is unfair. We have a tendency to believe that God is not equal. He is not equal in what he does. Amen. But I can tell you this tonight, that God is not unfair. God is not unequal. Amen. Whatsoever the Lord desires to do, he will do it, because he is our God. Amen. Let me just find this scripture quickly. I didn't plan on using it, so I got to find it. But I always have to hold on. Let's start verse 9, okay? I'm going to read verse 9 through 12. Verse 9 through 12 of the 19th chapter. Amen. I'm going to go slow and deliberately because I want us to really get this. God is not unfair. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever your challenges are, stop being frustrated with God. Amen. As he told the children of Israel concerning Pharaoh, he said he allowed, he permitted Pharaoh to do the things that he did because he was trying to reveal something in Pharaoh that God already knew. A lot of times we experience some things that we don't understand, but God is trying to reveal some things in us that we are not aware of. Amen. But God knows. Verse 9 reads, says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Amen. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Amen. Whatever God does is clean. But it's also true and it is righteous altogether. Whatever we may be experiencing tonight, the fault is not in God, because God is not an unfair and an unrighteous God. All of his thoughts are righteous altogether. Verse 10 reads, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What are you talking about? God's judgment and righteousness. Amen. God judge me. Amen. You know what? Judgment means there's some issues that God is working on. Whenever you go before the judge is judging you based on something. There's some type of evidence. There's some problems. Amen. So God's judgments are righteous. And God said this in dealing with the children of Israel and when he was about to pronounce judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Abraham tried to stand in the stead to rationalize the reason of God. Amen. And Abraham kept saying, God, you won't destroy the righteous with the sinner. Amen. So Abraham bargained with God, trying to get him to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. But God concluded by telling Abraham this. He says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God is righteous. Amen. So he eventually destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin, because there was not five righteous in that city, in that whole area. It wasn't just really a city, but it was in the whole plain. There weren't five righteous. But God says, shall not. Amen. Whatever we may be going through tonight, shall not the judge of all the earth do what? Right. Amen. He says, we are all sort of honey in the honeycomb. Verse 11 reads, moreover, by them is thy servant. Lord, thank you for your warnings. Amen. Thank you because a warning comes before destruction. And the scripture says, the heart is spirit. Lord, warn me. Lord, keep me on the right path. And in the keeping of them, that is great reward. Who can understand? A lot of times we try to figure God out, and we try to place a handle on why we're going through, and then we say, you know, God, I just thought you would do it better than this. God, I didn't think you were going to do it like that. God, sometimes we like, you know how you like to reason with God? Amen. How we like to bargain with God, telling God all that we've done. Amen. And we forget so many things that we have not yet done. So in our bargaining spiritually with God, we're telling God all that we've done and how righteous we are. And we are patting ourselves on our spiritual back. Amen. But God says this concerning us. Who can understand his errors? Amen. Yes, there's a fault in us. There's some issues in us. Judgment is intended to reveal some things in us. Amen? Who can understand his error? He says, cleanse thou me from. That's why God allowed us to go through some of the things that we're going through. There's some hidden stuff. There's some stuff way down deep on the inside that God says, you know, it hurts me for you to go through this. But if I allow you to stay in the error of your way, it's going to hurt me more later. So I'd rather have you experience now to bring about a spiritual change, to bring about a revolutionary spiritual change. I'd rather have you experience that now than have you experience it later. So what is the purpose? It's intended to reveal in us our secret faults. Amen. And Jeremiah said it this way concerning the heart. He said, our heart. Now most of us, guess what? Every last one of us feels that we're all right. Amen. Not unless you're a sadistic or you got some issues and you like to inflict pain, but for the most important, most of us feel as though we're all right. Amen. If anybody says anything, I'm everything. Very few times will we bring a condemnation on ourselves. But Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But he does not end there. He asks a question. Who can know it? There are some things way down on the inside. Amen. That if God does not allow us to have trials, they will not be revealed. So God permits us to go through a hard time to reveal those secret faults. God permits us to go through a hard time to reveal the part in our heart that we do not yet know. How do we know? Just look back in some situations that we responded to. And at the end, we look back and say, Lord, I did not know that that was in me. Lord, I didn't realize. I thought when I got saved, that stuff was gone. But in the midst of my trial, I acted in some ways. Amen. Listen, me too. In the midst of the trial, God, I acted in a way I thought I had overcome that. Thank you for judgment. Because that judgment revealed some secret faults. That judgment revealed some things that were hidden that I thought were covered and taken care of. But God, I thank you that in the midst of the trial, you purged me with hyssop. In the midst of the trial, you washed me and you made me clean and whiter than snow. So Lord, I give you permission. Continue to reveal my secret faults. The secret faults is not how people see you. The secret fault is what it is. It's a secret. It's a hidden part. It's a part in you that you don't realize, but I guarantee you something about the devil. Now this is how the devil is. The devil knows every last one of us what are our triggers. You know what a trigger is? A trigger is what's going to make you act ugly. The trigger is what's going to bring about a bad or negative reaction to God. The devil knows the triggers. So he brings about those triggers. He said, well, what is your proof? Remember Job? Job said, the thing that I feared the most. The devil knew that trick. He knew it. Job didn't realize it was going to bring about the change or the challenge that he had. Job said, the thing that I feared the most, the thing that bothered me when I went at night, had happened unto me. That was a trick. Every last one of us have that trick in our life. You know that part? You know that part that you don't like? That part that if it happens, you say, whoa, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, God knows and the devil knows. So that that part of you will not eventually overtake or take you down, God will allow that trigger to happen so you can see your secret faults. And that's all God did for Job. God revealed something in Job that was resident but hidden. And at the end, Job said, when he thought about God, he said, his ways are past finding out. He says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eyes have seen. What? God revealed some things in Job that Job didn't realize were resident in him. Amen. So our trials are never intended to overthrow us or intended for us to find fault with God, but they're simply meant to reveal those secret faults. Amen. Let's go back to Romans chapter 19. So Lord, allow, you can read that in Job yourself. Job said, Lord, the thing that I feared the most, God knew it, and guess who else knew it? The devil. Because the scripture says concerning him, I believe it's in the book of Daniel chapter 9, that there is no secret thing that can be withholden from you, from him, concerning us. But the devil knows our triggers. Amen. If you were an alcoholic, he knows you were an alcoholic. If you have problems with sexual addictions, he knows those things. If you have problems with nicotine or drug, the devil knows the triggers that will bring about a negative response to us towards God. So constantly he's working on our triggers to try to get us to find fault with God. Amen. But I don't know about you, I'm perfect. For God I live, and for God I will die. I think we're on verse 16, right? No, go back up. I think it was verse 14. It said, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness in God? God forbid. Whatever we are going through, amen, we are all going through something. Don't think you're out on an island all by yourself and that you're nothing. You're the only one going through this. Like Elijah, when Elijah was fighting with those prophets of Baal, you know, this is what happened when those secret things that start being revealed. Elijah went to God, he said, Lord, take me. He said, I only am left. There's nobody else. God said, be quiet, Elijah. He said, I got 7,000 that still have not yet bowed the knees to Baal. Because in our trials, we get selfish spiritually, and we think, I'm the only one going through this. God said, no, he said, I got 7,000, Elijah, that I'm not yet bowed the knees to Baal. Just do what I've called you to do. God is not unrighteous. Verse 15 reads, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Now, God to have mercy, a lot of times, you know, we get frustrated with situations and people, and we want judgment. But God is working some things in some of us, and he's working some things out of some of us. Amen. So God said, now, this individual, they passed this test a little while ago, so I'm going to give them different mercy. But you have not yet passed the test. You keep going through the same thing over and over and over, so I'm going to give you different mercy. Amen. Because I heard a preacher say, mercy is designed to keep us
designed to keep us until grace kicks in. Amen. So some of us have received grace. Some of us have not yet received grace. So God is still giving some of us
abundant mercy.
Amen. Because grace is God's help when we need it. So he said, I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth. When it comes to mercy and compassion, it is not because of any man. God's mercy and compassion is based solely on God. Amen. I worked with kids a long time ago, lots of different kids, and I always had mercy, and I always had compassion. Like I said, sometimes I got called super soft, but that's all right. I know what's in here. Amen. So I didn't worry about super softy. But in my mind, the reason I was always good to somebody else is because I had five kids. Amen. So I said, Lord, you know, if I'm merciful and if I'm kind to somebody else's child, if my children are ever in that situation, I will reap the compassion and mercy that I had on somebody else's child through my child. And God is my witness, and my wife will tell you, we've experienced some mercy and compassion in some of our children's situations. Amen. So don't always be so hardcore. Amen. Don't always feel as though you got to get the point across. Remember that you and others have to go this way also. So you need to show mercy. You need to show kindness. It's never a reason for any of us to act ugly. Amen. Because somewhere along the line, we're going to need some mercy too. Somewhere along the line, we're going to need God to show us compassion too. It may not be to me directly, but God will give it to me indirectly through my family. So the way you treat others is the way God will treat you in the end, because we reap exactly. Come on, y'all know that scripture. We reap exactly what we. And for the sake of embarrassment and not mentioning names, I'm not going to give you any details. Amen. I took you high enough. Now you climb the rest of the ladder for yourself. Amen. I ain't going to tell you what God has done, but I can tell you this, God has done. Amen. And my wife and I talk all the time. We have some ugly, ugly situations. Amen. Some unusual situations that 2 o'clock in the morning we got a call from an authority saying, normally we would not do this. But in my mind, I always went back. And I remember it was because of how I treated other people's children. You know, just to show you about children, and even though I know y'all say this ain't a children's meeting, amen? But it is a children's meeting. It is a children's meeting. When it comes to children, children are the most innocent of all. Amen? Children need our overseeing and our protection. How can we be mean? How can we be unrighteous? How can we be so ugly in dealing with children? Amen? You know, children of us such, you know, even a child, you know, do you know most, all children are not prejudiced. When a black child is a white person, or a white child is a black person, they don't see color. Amen. They just see a person. The question that I want to ask us adults, how can we be mean when it comes to children? How can we be unforgiving? Now, I'm not talking about anybody, I'm talking about me, so please don't put no fingers on none of this. Don't think, I wouldn't intend to go this way, but listen anyway, all right? You can talk about me later, but it ain't true, so I don't worry. All right, because I know everybody always going to have to hypothesize and figure out why. But it confounds my mind how we can be so ugly with children. And the reason that I say that is because the one thing that my mother told my wife and I, you know, I never forgot this. And I never told her that I was having one of those bad moment with my children, but one, you know, she would just fall out of the blue and start giving us instructions. My wife would tell you. She just started giving us instructions. I'm like, man, I don't know, I didn't tell her, and I know anybody else didn't say anything to her. So why? But my wife, my mother told me this. I won't tell you, I won't call the name she called me, that's right, because that's pride, that's family stuff, so y'all need to know that, okay? Yeah, I guess. Can you tell us how I want that? But she said, listen, she said, son, she said, whatever you all do, don't you ever allow any situation to happen to turn your back on your children. And this is when we were going through a really, really, really rough time. Amen. With one or two or maybe three or four, let's say all five of the kids. That way, nobody will be guessing which one it is. All five of them. Even though some of them didn't have hard times. But we were really going through a difficult time, and I didn't say anything to her, but she called. She said, listen, you love your kids. This is for you parents. All that foolishness about letting the bottom fall out. Tough love is true. Amen. But God showed us tough love. Amen. He showed us tough love, but so he would not allow anything to happen to break us. Show tough love for your kids. Amen. But that child is you. They would not be here if it weren't for you. You can't just turn your back on them and act like nothing. So my mother told me, this is a bad time to bring this out. But anyway, don't make no equations, okay? Amen? I ain't had enough of that. Listen right. When children are of such, and my mother said this, she said, now, when you do for your child, you do it out of love. But if you allow your child to get into a bad situation, then the people that are overseeing your children won't do it out of love. They're going to do it because that's their job. She said, the difference between you and them is that you're going to do it with love and compassion. And they could care less about what happened to your child. So I say that to say, children, don't make a difference. All children are my children. My wife, everywhere you go, she's like, what do you think? Everywhere you go, you have to get a child. Children are so innocent. How do you lose with children? Amen? And we were in Georgia, I found children. Where am I going to find a child? Because you know, children are innocent. But what I'm trying to say is, we live in a day and age now when it's not our child, some of us act so ugly, so mean, so nasty. Matter of fact, when we had the block party, I had some cupcakes. I don't know where this little girl came from. She said, oh, can I have one of those cupcakes? Remember? Huh? She said, can I have a cupcake? Like, she's a little kid. Oh my God, two. One for me, one for my wife. So all I say, give her a cupcake. Little old girl, I said, oh, okay, here's a cupcake. She sit there and made it right out. You know, I could have said, no, go find your mother, child, get your own cupcake. You like most of us would have done. You know what, but we have to have compassion and show kindness to children. Amen. That's no charge. Let's keep going. Go to the but go back for a second. But to God that showeth mercy. The way that we show that we are a child of God is by showing mercy. Amen. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show thee my power in thee. God said, I'm going to allow all of this to happen because I'm going to show you something, Pharaoh, and I'm also going to reveal a hidden secret part in you, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Because of what you're going through, others see it, and God's name will be. Amen? The next verse. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have, and whom he will pardon. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he find fault? His will. He said, we don't resist the gospel. Why does it seem like God keeps punishing me? Nay, but oh man, who art thou that replies? Yes, God. Amen. Tonight we're dealing with finding fault with God because we don't understand how God will have mercy on this one and why God won't have mercy on that one. Why God has compassion on this, but he won't have compassion on that. Why God permits one person to go through something and not another. And why am I going through this and not somebody else? He said, who art thou that replies? All right, can y'all help me read that? Because I feel like I'm just fade by myself. Oh, okay. But it says, who art thou that what? Replies against God. Why are you finding fault with God? Amen. Why are you saying that God is not fair and God is not equal? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why art thou? In other words, they say, God, why am I going through this? God allows us all to go through some things to reveal some things in us. Amen. Actually, I have quite a few scriptures, but I'm just going to hit one other scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 20. This is the last one we go over tonight, and Lord willing, we'll pick the other one another time. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 20. We don't understand some of the ways that God takes us. Amen. And many times we ask God why. Amen. We question God concerning his will and sovereignty, but it's best just to trust in God. First one reads, now Pasha the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Prophesied, I mean, he was speaking God's will and God's word. Amen. He was speaking God's will and God's word. Then Pasha spoke Jeremiah the prophet. Amen. Now you would think, Jeremiah is doing God's will. Why is Jeremiah being persecuted? Amen. Amen. And put him in the stocks that were in the high gates of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pasha brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah to him, the Lord has not called thy name Pasha, but Megor-Misabib. That's a mean one, but that's all right. Amen. In the next verse, he tells what it means. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself. Amen. God, Jeremiah himself, he said, you may have done this to me, but I'm going to show you what God now is going to do to you. I spoke God's word. I did what God required of me to do. Now I'm going to show you what God is going to do to you. But Jeremiah still had a human side, though he was a prophet. He said, and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Just a little issue. What was happening was Jeremiah was prophesying the word of God, and all these other priests and all these other ministers were saying contrary to God wasn't going to do it. That God's not going to take you into Babylon. God wouldn't do this. God's merciful. But Jeremiah was speaking the word of God. Now, these other men were in opposition to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was preaching the law. Amen. Sometimes you have to stand alone. But if you're standing with God, you are not alone. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labor thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall fall them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pasha, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. So they were in opposition to Jeremiah. Amen. You were thinking, well, Jeremiah is on God's side. God fight for him. Why is he being beat? Why is he being put in prison when he's doing what you asked him to do? Just because we do what God asked us to do doesn't mean we might not have to have a little suffering. Amen. So we have to arm ourselves with the right mind. Amen. Oh Lord, now this is Jeremiah, the human part. You know, the challenge when we do all that God asks us to do is when the human part seems to come out that we don't seem to be reaping like we thought we would reap. We don't see things going the way that we thought they would go. God, I've done what you asked me to do. Now, what is all this? Lord, I've stood in the gap. Why is all this trouble all around me? God, I've been honest. I've been sincere. I've done my best. Why do I have trouble? Amen. You ask that question because that's the human part of you. So he said, oh, Lord, thou hast. Wait a minute. Jeremiah, the man of God. Amen. He got to a weak point where he was finding fault with God. He said, why hast thou deceived me? And I was deceived. He said, Lord, you are stronger than me. God, you're stronger than me. I've done what you asked me to do. He said, and has prevailed. He said, Lord, you're stronger. You know I can't fight you. I can't do anything against your will and your counsel. Lord, you're stronger than I am. So I'm in the plight. I'm in the place where I am now because I've been obedient to your word and your will. Obedience does not mean we will not have to suffer a little while. Amen. Because the scripture says many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God has a cause to that. But the Lord delivereth them. So we will suffer. As many as shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. So there are going to be some challenges. Amen. It's not going to be peaches and cream. Amen. It's not going to be all easy street. We're going to have to go through some things. He said, and as we fail, I am in derision daily. He said, everybody is bothering me. God, I'm preaching, I'm doing everything you do, but all they do is ridicule me. They keep putting me down, and all they ever do is talk about me, talk about me. Everybody's mocking me. God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. You deceive me. I feel like I'm all by myself. Amen. That's some of us too. We feel as though we're doing it all, and God has deceived us. Everybody's talking about us, and mocking us, and ridiculing us. Amen? Go to the next one. So, for since I spake, I cried out, violence is fallen, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He said, I did God's will and spoke his word. But instead of me being blessed, it seemed like I received a curse or a problem. He said, I got to the point in my frustration. Amen. That's why we have to keep our hearts pliable to God and his will. Amen. God allowed Jeremiah to go through this and show some part, show Jeremiah his secret faults. Now look at Jeremiah. He said, then said I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore. Trial have a way to bring out some stuff in us. Amen. It can break us down to the point that we begin to find fault with God. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up. That's why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid. Lord, I might go out to the farthest part of the sea, but your word is in my heart. Lord, I might ascend to the highest heaven, but your word is in my heart. So his word was in his heart as a burning fire shut up in his bones. He said, I was weary with forbearing and I could not, even though I said I wasn't going to do it, something was down inside of me and it just wouldn't let me be still. God's word was down there and it was continuing to drive me in the direction. that God would have me to go. He said, for I heard the fame of many. Fear on every side. Jeremiah said, I was surrounded by ridicule and trouble. Why? Because I was doing what God asked me to do. Amen? He said, report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting. The people that I thought that I had confidence in the most, that I was familiar with, they were also watching and waiting to see me fall. Jeremiah said, Lord, all I've done is what you asked me to do. Why is everyone seeing as though they turned against me? He said, saying, peradventure, he will be enticed and we shall prevail. Everybody was fighting Jeremiah. Why? Because he did what God asked him to do. Amen. He said, prevail against him and we shall take our vengeance on him. God permits us to go through some things. Familiars being there with Jeremiah's associates and friends or people he thought he could confide in, they too was watching to see him fall. Because he prophesied God's word and the truth. Whenever we make a stand for truth and what is right, you will lose some close friends. You'll lose some people that are close, but make that stand. Tonight, the question that we address as we stand in closing, is there a righteousness in God? Amen. Are God's ways unequal? Can we find fault with God? Indeed, tonight, brothers and sisters, God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love that we have shown towards his name. God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love that we show toward his name, and that we do minister unto the saints, and we did minister and do minister. So whatever you're going through, endure for Christ's sake. Amen. God is